Can Jake Browning make it 3 wins in a row for the Cincinnati Bengals? We'll see as the Bengals get ready to host the Minnesota Vikings here at Paycor Stadium on Saturday. Hey, everyone. It's Kelsey Conway here at the Enquirer Studio with Bengals Beat podcast producer Sam Green. We are here at the Enquirer Studios to break down this exciting matchup between the Bengals and the Vikings. And there's a lot to talk about in this matchup, but most of the conversation will be about the quarterbacks playing in this game. Kirk Cousins, the Vikings starting quarterback, out for the season with an Achilles injury, and Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow out for the season with a wrist injury. So both teams will be playing their backups. And for the Vikings, it's their third backup this season. Nick Bolins is going to get the start over Josh Dobbs, who was brought in to back up Kirk Cousins a couple months ago. And for the Bengals, it continues to be Jake Browning. And we will see what we get out of him on Saturday. So let's talk about this matchup a little bit before we bring in this week's podcast guest. The Bengals have been on a roll on offense, and it's been the biggest reason why this team has won the last two games. They played outstanding on offense in Jacksonville with a very well-balanced offensive attack led by Jake Browning. But really the biggest difference right now for the Bengals has been the run game coming alive. Throughout the season so far, the Bengals have been one of the league's worst rushing attacks this year, and they've recently picked it up, and they're getting a lot from rookie Chase Brown. He has been a nice mix with Joe Mixon as this kind of 1-2 punch that Cincinnati's been able to get a lot from, and it's really taken the pressure off of Jake Browning in having to do everything. So if the Bengals can continue with this well-balanced attack that sprinkles in the run game, the screen game has really come alive for the Bengals, and getting easy completions for Jake Browning, and then when he can, of course, hit Ja'Marr Chase for these 50-yard plays that lead to touchdowns. That's what you want for Jake Browning. Make it as easy as possible, and then he can take advantage of one-on-one matchups when he gets it with his wide receivers in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Well, the Bengals are very healthy for this point of the season. Right now on offense, they will have all of their offensive starters for Jake Browning. And then on the defensive side of the ball, other than Cam Taylor-Britt, who is on injured reserve right now, the Bengals defense will have all of their starters. So the Bengals, for this being middle of December, they're doing well from the injury report standpoint. Ja'Marr Chase was on the injury report at the start of this week, but he assured reporters that he is going to play on Saturday. And he'll be going up against one of his best friends and one of the other best receivers in the NFL in Justin Jefferson, who is going to play. He's been battling injuries all season. So the Vikings are expecting him to play, and the Bengals are expecting to have to deal with Justin Jefferson. But it's been a struggle for the Vikings on offense the last couple of weeks without Kirk Cousins and Josh Dobbs kind of slumping. They only scored 3 points in their most recent win over the Raiders last week, but they remain in the playoff picture. And that's why this game has so much riding on it, because both teams need it in terms of getting into the dance. I wrote a story a couple weeks ago on Cincinnati.com, and I encourage listeners to check it out if you have questions about how many games the Bengals would need to win to get into the playoffs, who can they not afford to lose to. Every playoff scenario you have questions about, I tried my best to break it down for you. But basically, the Bengals need to win this one, and they need to win next week against the Steelers. They'd put it into a dream situation for themselves if they won out and went 4-0 down the stretch. But I think 3-1 that gets you to 10-7 on the year gets you a chance to have that final wild card spot. But you have to beat the Vikings. You have to beat the Steelers. If you lose to the Chiefs, it's not the end of the world, but then you would then have to beat the Browns in that final week of the season. But they can't even think about that, because right now they need to focus on the Minnesota Vikings. And I've talked a lot about the offensive struggles for the Vikings, but one thing that is certain about this Minnesota team is how well their defense is playing under Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator in his first year with the Vikings. They blitz a lot. They're going to be pressuring Jake Browning. And this is the game where I think you're going to find out a lot about Jake Browning. Yes, he has showed flashes of just brilliance over the last couple of weeks, But this is a different type of defense, and you'll learn a lot about him because how he maneuvers things at the line of scrimmage and how he deals with the gauntlet of pressure that Flores is going to bring will tell you a lot. And if he's able to take care of the ball, that's the key here. Can't turn the ball over against this Minnesota team that's struggling on offense, because that's what they want you to do. They're riding their defense, hoping that the defense can win them games. And how Jake Browning protects the ball will be the biggest key to this game. And it's fortunate for the Bengals that this one's at home, because if it was in Minnesota, it would be a problem. The Vikings have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL, and that's not something the Bengals have to worry about, with Zach Taylor encouraging Bengals fans to be very loud this week and help them win against the Vikings. And if you beat the Vikings, then you can really start thinking about the playoffs for this team, because you're one step closer. But you can't overlook the Vikings just because they're starting Nick Bolton. So we will see how this Bengals team looks on Saturday. And to get us ready for the game, I am going to bring on one of my favorite people in the sports media landscape, and you will definitely recognize her if you like the NFL. Her name is Jamie Erdahl. She is the host of Good Morning Football, NFL Network's very popular show for mornings. I watch it every morning as I'm getting ready for work or going through press clippings. It's just really nice to hear that crew. They do a great job of just making football fun and easy to understand and entertaining to listen to. So I've known Jamie for a couple years now. She used to be the CBS Sports sideline reporter for the main SEC game every week, and also does CBS sideline reporting for March Madness. She's a former basketball player, so she is great, and she just recently became the host last year of Good Morning Football and has done an amazing job. And the reason I wanted to have her on is because she's a Minnesota native and a Vikings fan, but as the host of Good Morning Football, she has to talk about every team. And this past week, when NFL Network's Good Morning Football crew gives out their game balls, which they do every Monday, all four of the members of the crew give out a game ball. She gave her game ball to Jake Browning. And so I thought this was the perfect opportunity to have Jamie on to talk about the Vikings, a team she knows well, and to talk about what she likes most about Jake Browning and what this Bengals team is doing. So for more from Jamie Erdahl, here's my conversation with her.
Cass, and I am so excited to bring on our guest this week as the Bengals get ready to take on the Vikings for what a couple months ago we might have not thought was going to be such a good game, but now you could argue it's one of the better games of the week in terms of just interesting storylines. And my guest today is someone who I admire so much, and I had a chance to meet her a couple years ago. And you know when you hope one of like your idols is as nice and awesome in person as they look like on TV? Well, Jamie Erdahl, the host of Good Morning Football, is exactly that and more. And she's been kind enough to give me a couple minutes today. And the reason I want to have Jamie on for this specific game is, for those that don't know, Jamie is from Minnesota and is a Vikings fan. But as the host of Good Morning Football, she, of course, is to follow all of the NFL stories. And this week, when Good Morning Football gives out their game balls, which they do, I think it's every Monday or Tuesday. She gave her game ball to Jake Browning. So I thought this was the best time to have her on. So, Jamie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you so much for the introduction. It's wonderful to see you. And if only the extra thing you could say is that I was on the sideline for this game.
I know.
My neighbor that I sit next to at the GMFB table, Jason McCourty, will be there. He rolls his eyes when he gets assigned Vikings games because he gets, you know, approached by all like the people I used to intern for in Minnesota, all this stuff. He's like, can you just be here so you can say hi to them so I don't have to talk to them for you? So I wish so badly I was there for you, but I will be in Indianapolis instead. I will watch your game and then I'll knock out the Steelers-Colts game.
You might be giving more game balls to Cincinnati. We'll see, because mm-hmm. this two-game stretch. The Bengals season, it's funny, when I watch you guys, they started off, obviously, with all the talk about Joe's calf and just how bad the offense looked without him. And then you go to, he comes back, and he has that amazing game in Arizona. Yep. And then they go on a little win streak. They beat Seattle at home. And then he gets hurt in that Thursday night game against the Ravens, which you could argue had all the makings to be the best Thursday night game of the year for Ware. And I think the Bengals would have ended up winning that game because of the drive that Joe had them on.
Yeah.
And then you go into their first game without Joe, looks pretty horrible against the Steelers. They run the ball only eight times. You don't know what you think of Jake Browning. And then the last two games, Jake Browning has been outstanding. Zach Taylor has made some adjustments in the way that he's calling the game with Jake. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really fun to cover the Bengals right now, because when you see someone like this, and Jamie also covers March Madness, and we talk about those stories about the team that comes out of nowhere and makes a run at the Sweet 16, like you've covered so many of those. What have you enjoyed most when talking about the Bengals as much as you do when you look at like the season as a whole?
I like looking at teams, and oftentimes we do this very naturally through the lens of the quarterback and the head coach, and really the personalities that drive those teams, because I think those are your leaders in the clubhouse. I think those oftentimes are the gentlemen. There's the rare occasion where it is somebody else in those roles that's doing that, but those are the two that are setting the tone and the tenor for your team that season. Having covered Joe Burrow at LSU when I was with CBS, I got to know Joe very well in his 2 years with LSU, and Jamar as well. So I knew what he was about and how he handles himself in a new locker room, in a new city. Not that Cincinnati was a new city for him, but in a new organization. So I was not surprised whatsoever that the beginning of his career has gone the way it has with the Bengals from a personality standpoint. So just wanted to set the table that way. When I saw Jake Browning come in, and had when I've seen him subsequently in his press conferences and his family members in the suite, and the fact that Joe gave up the seats for Jake, I think there is something there that, like, those two seem to have something going on. Their personality seems similar. They have this kind of dry, smirky sense of humor. They obviously have incredible talent and work ethic. Joe's different than Jake that got them to these various points in their careers. But there is something for somebody to be able to pick up where you left off. And the fact that this team had the makings of things going well at the right times, and the fact that it was such a gut punch when Joe went out. But the fact that Jake, even though it took him a minute to figure it out, skill set aside, you need somebody who's just going to keep it going the way Joe was. And I think what I really applaud Jake for is everyone just seems so comfortable with him being in this role. And the fact that he's playing fantastic doesn't hurt either.
When you look at this specific game against the Vikings, a team that when they had Kirk Cousins was operating a really high level, then now this week, the Josh Dobbs story was great, but Nick Mullins is going to be the starter. Yeah. So it's going to be Nick Mullins versus Jake Browning, which a couple months ago you would have been like, yeah, what? I don't know about that game. But now you're like, okay, because the Vikings have so much to play for, and so do the Bengals. What are you expecting from the Vikings with Nick Mullins?
Well, for as much as I would love to opine about how Nick Mullins could do the same thing that Jake Browning has done, I can't speak on that because I haven't seen it. I don't know it. I don't believe that, you know, necessarily could pan out that way. What I do believe is that this Vikings defense can travel, and whatever Mullins has to do, you know, we talked about this with Zach Wilson a few weeks ago, just like we were trying to, was it Zach Wilson or was it when his back, whatever, we were trying to create a standard for a Jets quarterback, whoever it was playing. We were like, just throw for 120 yards and don't turn the ball over, and maybe rush for your own 40. And it was just this kind of what I found condescending standard, but it was like, just do enough because the Jets defense was so good. A little bit I feel that way about the Vikings at this point, just coming off of what they did against the Raiders last week in that 3-0 game. It's like, your defense can hang with anybody at this point. The Vikings posted this video of their D coordinator, Brian Flores, like bopping around the locker room after that game. And a little bit, I was like, really? You just won 3-0. But I was like, hey, a shutout's a shutout. What are you going to do? So I don't know Nick Mullins. I don't know how this is going to work. The Josh Dobbs thing was also really fun to watch. But when I said about Jake, when I gave out this game ball, which is to me, backup quarterbacks go through a phase of three steps. I go, it's cute what they did. And then the second game, I'm like, okay. And then the third game, you have to see, you're like, okay, now this is actually happening this way. So this is the Jake Browning third game for me that I really want to see transpire. Nick Mullins, I'm not even at the, like, that was cute. That was nice what you just did. I haven't even gotten there yet with him. So, but the defense is playing out of their minds right now. And I feel this way about the Ravens offense. And it took some time for the Todd Munkin thing to take effect. I think it took some time for this Vikings defense and the Brian Flores thing to take effect, and now it has. And I think the Bengals, the Lions team should look out that the Vikings are going to have to play. Offensively, no idea. Justin Jefferson, no idea what's going on with him. But can if the defense can do what they did last weekend, I think everyone's probably should be on their radar.
Well, fun note for you guys. I don't know if you have already talked about it. I didn't get to watch the show this morning, but Brian Flores and Zach Taylor got a little bit of a spicy relationship dating back to that 2019 game. And it's funny, as someone who covers the Bengals on a daily basis, like Zach is always, he speaks usually glowing of all the other coaches. And this week, I wasn't covering the Bengals then. And I obviously know of what happened because that's how the Bengals were able to get Joe Burrow, because had they won that game, they probably wouldn't have landed him. Joe, I said, you know, Zach, last week I asked him about Shane Steichen and he was like, great. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I'm such a fan of his. I was like, what do you think about Brian Flores' defense? He's like, they bring a lot of pressure. Next question. Like, he was so abruptly short. Yeah. And as someone who's seen Zach's like every press conference, I was like, okay, there's something here. So
yes.
I don't know. Keep your eyes on that handshake post-game, because I think it could be, depending on how this goes, a little icy because there's some history there.
Absolutely. That's a good call. That is a curious case. I think Flores, too, has a lot of things to be coaching for, just like in his life and his professional, you know, development and whatnot. And so the defense is bought in. The guys are playing great. They have that undrafted rookie, Ivan Pace, who's just been playing out of his mind.
Cincinnati guy.
Cincinnati guy, yes. So that's a great story. And so how it transpires, you know, this Nick Mullins, Jake Browning thing, like you said, 2 months ago, we were like, wow, really? And now we're like, oh, okay. Because it's kind of make or break for a lot of the games this weekend for some of these teams.
Well, and they flexed this game. We didn't know if this was going to be the Saturday night game, and they moved it to the 1 o'clock game because they were like, ugh. But now you're like, well, maybe it should be in prime time. Because I mean, I think this game's going to be weird. I think it's going to be low scoring and weird. So before we let you go, because we know you have a very busy day, I want to just get your prediction and maybe something that you think will be a defining factor in the game.
Well, let's go back to what we just talked about. I think if Ivan Pace can kind of keep playing in a disruptive manner, in a way that rookies play sometimes they don't really realize how good it is before they get in their heads or before people start to, and also him coming home, it could go one of two ways. He could totally blow a tire on the way in and just like not and just could come down to earth, if you will, and he might be a total non-factor. Or he could blow up Jake Browning's life and he could show everyone in Cincinnati who watched him and knew he was good, because he was like an All-American at Cincinnati, right? And then to play out of his mind and just be totally disruptive. So I think Ivan Pace has a hell of a day. I also agree, low scoring. But I actually do think the Vikings will come away with this one.
Wow. Well, I think that because it's at Paycor, if it was in Minnesota, I would say for sure. Mm-hmm. But I just think the Bengals will do enough. And Nick Mullins is just my X factor here. I just don't know what to think of him. But yeah. I'm just excited to watch the game. I think it's going to be fun. And it'll be a fun way to watch the Vikings the rest of the season and the Bengals. Yeah. So, Jamie, thank you so much for joining me. I hope I get to talk to you again soon. And maybe if the Bengals make a playoff run, we could have you back on the podcast.
Anytime. I'm happy to.
Great stuff from Jamie. I was expecting it to be awesome, but really appreciate her taking some time to chat with us. She is doing the sideline reporting for a game on NFL Network this week, so she's got a lot going on. So Jamie, we appreciate you so much for taking some time to join Bengals Beat Podcast. So that is it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone, and we will talk to you guys next week.